What are the burning questions that we hope are answered at Media Days?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Monday. It's SEC Media Days week. Auburn goes tomorrow. But today we're going to talk about, what are the questions that we hope are answered? What are some of the questions? Maybe we have one for every single Auburn attendee. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the missing of Carlos May, and then what's potentially left in the recruiting class. Not much. We're going to jump all into that right now. Let's just go. Let's just go right now. If you could ask a question to every single Auburn attendee, what would it be? Start with Alex Golish. If I could ask Alex Golish a question, I think the first thing I would ask is, you know, you've mentioned, or he mentioned, that this is the first time ever that he's had his full offense installed even before fall camp. So what we've seen in the past, and I think what's hindered Auburn the most, is the inability to pivot. Auburn's had an inability to diagnose what the biggest issue is, and I'm primarily talking about offense, and then pivot to something that works, being flexible, being malleable. It's like we talk about it. Once things start going wrong, it's like we just continue to do the same things over and over again, kind of banging your head against the wall. Last year, and schedules don't help, because remember last year you come out against Baylor and you run all over them. And I can remember, though, and I think I even asked this to Tyler Siski. I had him on the show, and I asked him how sustainable, when you get into SEC play, is that version of the offense, you know, where it's not a ton of vertical passing and it's a lot of quarterback runs. And you know, it was fun. It was a fun game. You blew them out, but there was some question marks. And you go into Ball State, you learn nothing. South Alabama, there were maybe some chinks in the armor starting to show. Had several sacks, and then you just sort of, you know, limped to a convincing win. I mean, it's 31-15, but it didn't cover the spread. And then you go to Oklahoma, and it's like, oh my gosh, everything is kind of turned on its head. We actually see some really big issues along the offensive line, at quarterback. And then those same issues were the same issues every single game, it felt like. So schedules don't help, but how quickly, because you know everything now. It's not like, well, we're struggling because we haven't gotten to B, C, D, and E of our offense. Once we get to that, it'll probably answer a lot of these issues. You're already there. Hell, you're all the way to Z. So when you're all the way to Z, how quickly are you able to pivot? To me, I want to see that. Well, I hope I don't have to see it. Hopefully that everything is just clicking from day one and you don't have to pivot. But when you hit a wall, how quickly can you turn and find something else that works? I think that's the biggest thing. It's an impossible question to answer until you actually get into the season and actually see it happen. But I'd love to know, like, how quickly you feel like you'd be able to pivot if disaster strikes, or the offensive line has some deficiencies that maybe you couldn't diagnose in camp, or, you know, insert any number of things that we have seen plague Auburn's offense over the past 7 years, 8 years. I'd love to know the answer to that. You kind of fast forward, you get to Byron Brown. And I think the biggest thing with Byron Brown is, yeah, you've played some physical games. Like, how do you prepare yourself when you have mostly non-contact practices? How do you prepare yourself for the physicality of what you're about to experience week in and week out in the SEC when you play 9 SEC games this year instead of just 1? How do you prepare yourself for that? That's going to be, you know, that's going to be the biggest question mark too, I think, of the limits or no limits or ceiling or whatever you want to call it of success of this team is going to me, rise or fall right at Byron Brown's feet. I think he's going to have to probably have a very similar season than like Lenore Sellers had 2 seasons ago. Because I just think Auburn's not just – I like the roster. I just don't think it's like peak of what it could be. I think he's going to have to carry the team. So how do you prepare yourself for that? How do you prepare yourself for, should I go trying to run this guy over or wait and get and pick up the first down? Or should I wait an extra half second to see if my safety valve is going to be open? It's so tough, like for guys that like his game, how do you prepare for that? And you go to Champ, and I think the question I'd ask Champ is, how do you control the feeling of urgency on this year from a number of perspectives and still be able to play within yourself? Bro, you've been hurt a lot. It's not your fault, but this is it. How do you still play within yourself when that's in the back of your head? This is it. I can't get hurt again. How do you put those feelings aside? Not only that, this is it. These young guys are really good. I can't slip up. Do you start trying to play outside of who you know you are, which is a really, really good player? How do you battle that? How do you battle the urgency of this is it versus I got to play my role? I got to do what I know I'm capable of doing and not try to do too much. The internal battle that you're having there has got to be just so tough. Like, what a mentally tough dude to even be able to hang through all of this and still be making an impact enough to where he's representing Auburn at media days. And then you go to Alex McPherson. And with everything that he's been through, I mean, he's been able to get his strength back up. I guess the question that I would ask to him is, how do you go about feeling comfortable with your limitations on the football field? There's been so much learning and education, I'm sure, that he's had to do with his body. But there's also been a lot of learning and education and testing and a lot of putting yourself through, you know, hell physically to be able to figure out what your limits are on the football field. So are you comfortable with those? Do you kind of know? Is it as simple as just going out and kicking field goals until you can't kick, like going back and back further until you can't kick it that far anymore? Is it that simple, or is there a lot more that goes into it? How do you know your limits when it's, you know, when it's the fourth quarter, it's late in the game, there's maybe 12 seconds left, and you got a 43-yarder to win the game, or 45-yarder to win the game, and it's, you know, third down. Hey, coach, let's go ahead and do it right now, or we may need to try to get a couple more yards. Like, how do you know yourself enough to know that that's the case? What a cool story he could have. And I feel like he's probably going to be primed for a big year. But, yeah, those are the things that I would love to ask. I'd love to know your opinions on those questions. And then if there's some questions that you'd have out there that you haven't really seen people talking about that you'd like to know, hit me up in the comments with those. We're going to talk about Carlos May and what's left in recruiting in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to the PTAC Precision Tune Auto Care. Summer's dwindling, but it's still freaking hot. It's still really hot outside. And you can beat the heat and make sure that your AC is running at tip-top shape. You can have a free AC performance evaluation, free system pressure test, free vent temperature analysis, plus $50 off any AC repairs over $300. They're open now at 7 a.m. Drop it off early, man. And if you drop your car off between 7 and 9, you can get an oil change for $50 at the corner of Pepperell Parkway and Veterans and Opelika. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. And then buyauburn.com. Be who you say you are. If you're a business owner and you're an Auburn fan or an Auburn alumni, you can list your business for less than $1 per day. And then you have a chance to record a business spotlight podcast that you can have and use forever. I mean, you cannot beat that value. And then if you're an Auburn fan and you're in the purchasing process of anything, why not start at buyauburn.com? Just say, hey, I need X, Y, or Z. Let's go to buyauburn.com first, see if anybody there has what I need, and then I'll go do what I got to go do from there. Let's do business with Auburn people, man. It's buyauburn.com. We'll be back right after this. Carlos May commits to Ohio State, and I want to say to no surprise, at this point in time, I think if you asked this question like back in January and you told me he committed to Ohio State, I would say it's a huge surprise. It really felt like it's really hard to describe how this recruitment felt. I mean, he always felt like an Auburn guy. He had the longest relationship, I think, with Vontrell, very long and really good relationship with DJ Durkin. And I don't know if it's one of those things where the expectations were him to always go to Auburn, always had a lot of like Auburn momentum, more Auburn visits. I think he maybe even had some Auburn predictions early. I don't know if that – sometimes that plays against you. Sometimes that works against you to where it's like, well, you know, I want my moment. So I'm gonna play this thing out. I'm not just going to be locked in just because everybody thinks I'm going to Auburn, that, you know, I'm not going to let that limit my experience or limit my – you know, let's call it what it is, money, limit, whatever. And then shortly after his official visit, it really felt like it was going to be anywhere but Auburn. And I don't really know what to think about that. I don't necessarily think it's a reflection of anything. The defensive line class is spectacular. Carlos May would have sent it into orbit. There's no doubt about that. But for whatever reason, this thing just didn't work out. I don't think it's necessarily over. Who knows if you have a big season and you want to come on late. There's a lot of excitement. Still a local, you know, still a local kid, only a couple hours away from Auburn's campus. Could it be one that you could flip late? Ohio State's tough, man. That it's hard to argue with a kid that chooses to go to Ohio State right now. They get the best players. They win. They develop. It's hard to point to that and say that's a bad decision if you take your Auburn glasses off. The state of Alabama really got pillaged this year from teams outside of the state of Alabama. If you go look at the top 10, Alabama got none of them. Auburn, I think, got two or three, and then the rest went elsewhere. I don't know what that says. I haven't quite figured that out yet. Because Alabama kids can't yet, anyway, receive any NIL while they're in high school. So I don't know. I can't really – it's not like there's an advantage for them to go elsewhere that they're versus – from a money perspective than it is to go to an in-state school. I can't really figure that out. But if you look at all the teams that have gotten kids, you know, it's Miami, it's Oregon, it's Ohio State. It's a lot of the bigger spenders in college football. So Auburn and Alabama definitely have some work to do on that front. As far as what's left in this class, gosh, not much, man. I think what you'll see here, I think you'll see things kind of shut down for a while, okay? And what do I mean by that? I don't mean that, like, they're going to stop recruiting. I think a lot of it's going to be retaining your class. You really like the class that you have. Spend a lot of time communicating with them. When the evaluation periods open up, you're going to spend a lot of time going to see them play games and so on and so forth. And then what you'll do is after about 2 to 3 weeks of high school football, you'll start getting feedback from some of these other guys that are maybe flying under the radar or guys that, you know, are potentially committed elsewhere that are having great seasons that maybe you need to take a second look at. And then I think there will be some ancillary targets from that group of kids that you can look at and potentially make a run at throughout the season. But again, you got 25 commits, or is it 25? Or yeah, 25 commits. You had 26 and you had the decommitment. You got 25 commits. You've pretty much addressed every need. This is kind of unprecedented, but it may be that there may not be anybody left. I think if you just took this class as is, you'd probably be happy with it. I don't expect that that's the case. I would imagine they're going to add some. I would imagine, who knows, that you could still lose some. It's just still so early. But who knows, with a good season, you heavy evaluate some guys on their senior seasons the first couple of weeks and then, you know, start to kind of change directions and pursue some different targets. You never know. But it's just going to be right now, it's just hard to point in a direction of who could be next or like what are the next 4 or 5 potential commits. Because you have so many. Anxious to hear the guys talk tomorrow. Anxious to hear Greg Sankey talk today. We talked a lot about that last night, about, you know, the direction of the SEC, the direction of college football over the next, 5 years, and what that could look like. Maybe we'll get some answers today. Guys, thanks for listening. Make sure you like. Make sure you subscribe. And if you want to check out all of our premium content, it's very, very inexpensive. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel and you can get all of that. Gosh, there's like what, 10 to 15 premium content pieces that we're putting out on a weekly basis. Like, you could have all the Auburn content that you could ever dream of. And then if you are just in one of those weird times where there's not a new premiere upcoming, you can go to the live 24-hour stream that we have going, that we just dump all of our content in as it comes, and you can get caught up. All the press conferences and interviews and things like that from this week will go in there. Y'all have a great start to your week. We'll talk again very, very soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.